Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yo, 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 this is Sports Talk DT, and we're back live for another episode. We will be discussing tonight live on IFN Radio Nation, and make sure you tune into the R&R show every Wednesday and Friday night right here on IFM Radio Nation, 515-605-9898. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the Mike Tyson and the Roy Jones upcoming exhibition bout. Also, we will be having a live interview with the new head men's basketball coach of Waterford Mott High School, Pontiac's own Mr. Sean Moore. Hey, so we're going to get right into this fight. Do we really think do we really believe that Mike Tyson is able to come back and compete at a high level in his 50s against Roy Jones Jr., who is also in his 50s? Mike Tyson's last fight was in 2006. Roy Jones' last fight was in 2018. When I look at both videos, I believe that Mike Tyson is primed and ready to go. Mike Tyson, he looks sharp. He looks in place. He looks focused. That right hook looked like it's still there. And Mike Tyson is ready to go. When I look at what Roy Jones looks like right now, I've been talking to people all over the city, sports fans, and I believe that Mike Tyson is going to send Roy Jones to see Jesus Christ. Because when I look at Roy Jones' videos, Roy Jones, he's slow. When I look at his interviews, he talks as if that he is unprepared. And I just believe that it will prevail. Hey, if anybody that's listening to the show feels otherwise, feel free to call in 515-605-9898 and let's talk about the Mike Tyson and the Roy Jones bout. 515-605-9898. I want to go to my executive producer who is behind the scenes. I want to call her in and ask her, have she seen everything that's been going on with the Roy Jones and the Mike Tyson saga, and who is her pick to win that fight? Ms. Tennyson, are you there?
Okay, hello? Hey, Dennis. So I am here. But it looks like we have a caller calling in. I think it's your interviewer, so just give me a minute, okay?
Okay, is his name Sean Moore?
I haven't asked him yet. I'm going to the line now.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Looks like we might have our guest interviewer on the line. Let's see if live right here on Sports Talk DT on IFM Radio Nation. Make sure you guys tune into the R&R show every Wednesday and Friday night. 515-605-9898. Once again, that's 515-605-9898. Just one second. going to be discussing this all night long. Can Mike Tyson come back and compete at a high level, Roy Jones Jr.? You can call and give your comment, 515-605-9898. Okay. All right. Looks like I got my co-host, Mr. David Wilson. He's on the line. How are you, sir? Mr. Wilson.
What's going on, brother? You all right?
How are you, sir?
I am gravy.
Awesome. We're discussing the Mike Tyson and the Roy Jones bout. Who do you pick to win?
I'm sorry, say that one more time. I'm cutting in and out.
I said we're discussing the Mike Tyson and the Roy Jones fight tonight. Who do you pick to win that fight?
Mike Tyson.
All right, and why do you say Mike Tyson is going to win that fight?
Pure power, brother. Pure power. Have you seen that brother training lately?
Absolutely. And when I said Roy Jones said today in an interview on ESPN, he said Mike Tyson is in the best shape that he's ever seen Mike Tyson in his entire life. So what does that mean? What does that mean for you for his opponent, Roy Jones Jr., who's 51 years old, to say that the 53-year-old Mike Tyson is in the best shape that he's ever seen him be in his entire life?
That means trouble for Roy Jones. That means major trouble for Roy Jones. If he's saying that man's in the best shape of his life, that means major trouble for Roy Jones, because Mike Tyson in his prime, knocking cats out in 20 seconds.
And Roy Jones said that he just have to be 100% ready for whatever happens after the first punch is thrown. Do you believe that Roy Jones may be kind of trying to rethink his acceptance to fight Mike Tyson?
Well, it's an exhibition, first of all. But are they taking it as an exhibition? And second of all, everybody know Iron Mike ain't no joke. So if you're saying he in the best shape you've ever seen him in, and he's doing that, oh, my God. Yeah, he's rethinking that. Like, what was I thinking to accept that?
I mean, because when I look at the videos myself, Coach Wilson, Mike Tyson's white hook is still there. I mean, Mike Tyson did an interview on TMZ yesterday, and he explained on why he never accepted none of the bare knuckle matches that he fought, that he was offered, and not why he didn't accept the fight, I believe his name is Tyson Fury, is because
Tyson Fury.
Yeah, because he wanted to get back into an official ring and put on gloves again. He didn't want to fight in no alternated style. He wanted to box again. And Mike Tyson stated that it's not an exhibition to him. It's a real match. So with Mike Tyson taking it serious and Roy Jones perhaps treating it as an exhibition, I mean, who has the upper hand here?
Remember Rocky? Remember Apollo Creed and the Russian?
Yes.
Yeah, that's I mean, I'm not wishing no death on Roy Jr. or nothing like that, but, hey, Mike Tyson might be some trouble. If Mike Tyson taking this seriously and he in the best shape that Roy Jones ever seen him, yeah, we might want to rethink this.
Once again, we're live. IFM Radio Nation here with my man, Mr. David Wilson. This is your boy, Sports Talk DT, a.k.a. LeVar Ball from Yak Town, a.k.a. ESPN from the Hood. We're discussing the Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson upcoming bout September 12th at the Dignity Health Center in the city of Los Angeles, California. So, Mr. Wilson, with this having two historical boxers get together in their 50s, what does this say for the state of boxing?
What's it say? What does it say for who, sir?
The state of boxing. Like, if these guys, let's just say these two guys, they come out and both these guys are in great shape and they put on an awesome bout for the fans, regardless of who wins, Tyson or Jones. What does this say for boxing for guys that perhaps that are retired that may have been thinking, hey, well, if Mike Tyson and Roy Jones can come back, then I can too.
Everybody's different, but it means it's great for the sport of boxing because, I mean, you got, like, to be honest, if Mike Tyson would have never ran into the troubles that he ran into with the bad people that he had around him, bad advice and things like that, Mike Tyson may have been one of the longest, if not the longest, reigning heavyweight champion of all time. Mike Tyson was a menace, to say the least. He was a terror. And, you know, when he lost to Buster Douglas, he wasn't taking Buster Douglas seriously. He didn't train like he normally trained. He took Buster Douglas lightly. And that's the reason why he lost. He came in there ill-prepared. So I'm saying that to say this. If Roy Jones and Mike Tyson put on a great exhibition, I still don't say for all the people that are thinking about a comeback, if it's not for you, it's not for you. But those that love it, like Mike loves it, Roy loves it, they're going to do what they have to do to take care of themselves and be in that ring. Some cats don't do that. So
okay,
I just say kudos to them.
With Mike Tyson stating openly that he wants to fight Evander Holyfield, could he be using this fight against Roy Jones to entice Evander Holyfield to come out of retirement at the age of 54 if Mike Tyson can do it at 53 and Roy can do it at 50?
Well, first of all, Evander Holyfield is training right now. Evander Holyfield has been videoed and has open interview and said he is training like he's coming out of retirement. He hasn't made it official, but he's training. He said, yes, I'm training like I'm coming out of retirement. So we could see Tyson, Holyfield, what, four? Is it three or four?
It's three. Well, Evander Holyfield stated that the only way that he would fight Mike Tyson if Mike Tyson would agree to 3 minutes, three rounds. That's it. Mike Tyson wants a whole fight, and Evander Holyfield is talking tough, saying that if he beat him first, if he beat him twice, it'll be easier. It's easy to beat him a third time. And I was going to ask and my question to you was, let's just say hypothetically that this fight does go down, can Evander Holyfield come out of retirement at the age of 54 and beat Mike Tyson?
I'd have to see what shape Holyfield is in. But the way I've seen Mike, I don't think so. I've seen Mike at 53 right now. I don't think Evander could do it. I just don't.
I don't think Evander could do it either because when I seen the Evander Holyfield training videos that he just dropped recently, Evander Holyfield looked extremely slow.
Evander Holyfield looks real, real out of shape. Out of shape, and I don't think he can get it back. I don't think he can get it back. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And it looks as if, Mr. Wilson, that our special guest is getting ready to be joining the show in just 1 second, the new varsity head basketball coach of Waterford Mine High School, Mr. Sean Moore.
Great.
So we're gonna go to a commercial right now, and then when we come back off commercial, we hope to have the new head coach of Waterford High School on the line, Mr. Sean Moore, and we can go one-on-one and interview him. So we're gonna go to commercial and pay the bills right now. This is Sports Talk DT and my boy D Wilson. We'll be right back in just 1 second, live on IFM Radio Nation.
I can hear it.
Hi, I'm Mike with Betty T's Tea Cakes. At Betty T's, we share the love with over 7 flavors that will satisfy your taste buds. Place your orders today at www.bettytsteacakes.com. That's www.bettystacakes.com. Or call us at 469-673-4979. As we say here at Betty T's, feel free, share the love.
Yo, 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 yo. This is your boy LeVar Ball from Yaktown, ESPN from the hood, also known as Sports Talk DT. I got my boy Dave Wilson, and I have the brand new varsity head men's basketball coach at Waterford Mount High School. He's Pontiac Soul, Mr. Sean Moore. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Dennis. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So I definitely want to congratulate you, sir, on receiving the job at Waterford Mount High School, sir. And I just want to jump right into the interview. What is it like being the kid from Pontiac, growing up in the basketball circuit, playing basketball from Pontiac? Talk to me.
Being a kid from Pontiac, you just see the upbringing, the hard work that these kids put in, man. We just don't get the notoriety and the attention and the national span that a lot of these other kids get because we come from a smaller town. But these Pontiac kids from this small town have a lot to say. And once I was able to get out there on the AAU scene, which on the national scene, which will help me bring the kids out to display their skill set on a larger screen, it showed what this city was all about. But growing up in this city, it's a lot of big competitive basketball, as you know, Dennis, it's street ball, basketball, growing up through the Pontiac Northern, Pontiac Central battles. Everything was just very competitive coming out of 2 state championships. It's just something that I can bring back to the community for kids to know, to feel the hunger, to be successful and to live their dreams, to play professional or college ball, whatever God made plans for them to do.
Now, Coach Moore, that's something that I wanted to bring out is that you were a member of the state champion Pontiac Northern Husky basketball team under the leadership of Coach Robert Rogers. How, if any, did that grind as you being a state champion as a player, going all the way to the Breslin Center? How did that translate into you coaching and getting your players prepared for where you are today?
That grind and that coaching staff I had coming up through high school, Robert Rogers, Roy Webb, Coach Craig Covington, Philip Dada, we had a good coaching staff that didn't give us no slack. I mean, we practiced Sunday through Sunday. This is what a lot of people don't know. For 2 years, we practiced Sunday through Sunday. When schools was locked out, we had practice. We never watched film, but one thing we did was had a camaraderie together. Tough battles, but we were brothers. And throughout those times, seeing the hard work and what it paid off in this world, back-to-back state champions, after I went to college and came home to coach, it made me not no different because I know what success was all about, and it was about putting the work in. You got to put the work in school just like you put the work in on the basketball court in order to be successful. You don't have to have the most talent because you have people in the NBA whose talent is not nowhere near as close as some of these guys that's in the streets or the neighborhoods, but it's about that work that they constantly put in. And being able to put myself on a national scale coaching, I was able to see some of those things that make me come back to our neighborhood to let these kids know that I was a successful, I have 2 rings, and then there's other guys that I'm able to coach. I have a platform that I can put in front of these kids to lead them to the way, to let them believe. A lot of kids got to see it right in front of them, and I made sure I put myself in those positions. So when I teach a kid, I also have the background for them to look at me like this guy really know what he's talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Sean, so what is it that drew you to coaching? Is it just a natural transition from you as a player to a coach, or was it something specific that you saw in coaching that say, hey, I have that attribute and I can contribute this to the game.
Yeah, honestly, Dennis, it honestly wasn't nothing that drew me into coaching. I wasn't playing it. It was just something I was thrown into. It started around, I graduated from Eastern Michigan, came home right after college. I was going, planning on moving out of state. And Bill Navalis, he had a coach that was coaching the smaller kids, which was DeMarion, DeQuavion, Trey Ells, Jamarion Wilson, Sonny, which was those kids. They were in preschool and first grade. And I was coming to assist another coach. And I went with him to practice some, and we went on some tournaments. And as I was about to go ready to move, I came back to come see the kids, and the coach ended up not fulfilling a position and couldn't do it anymore. And the kids didn't have anyone to coach. So instead of me moving, and now you got 14, 15 years later, I'm still here coaching. That's how I was selling. That's how I actually fell into coaching. It wasn't nothing that I had planned.
So talk briefly about how important it is, in your opinion, to maintain business relationships. Because you talked about one of the legendary coaches, Bill Navalis, giving you the opportunity to even get your feet wet in coaching. And I'm sure you still have a connection with Bill today. So how important is it for upcoming coaches and players and just people in general, Sean, to maintain that business relationship?
I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for Bill coming to me, I wouldn't even be a coach, honestly, because it didn't cross my mind. And then once I started coaching, whatever I do, whenever I put my thought process into anything, I take it real serious. And I'm a competitor. So once I got into it, I got to seeing the benefits of the kids, and that's what it's all about. I never, ever in my life ever made the platform about me. Through all the success I have had as a coach, I have never made nothing about myself. I always made the attention about the kids, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. And that's what make my strive and my goal to become such a great coach and to make these connections with so many different people is because of these kids. Because at the end of the day, they have a life to live and they want to go to college. They want to play ball. So if I have the connections, the mindset, and the drive and the driver lane to lead those kids that way, I will never be stingy on information, because that's what we need to do. We have too much talent in our city, and it's too much talent just around, period. And we just have to grasp the kids at a young age to push them to their goal, Dennis.
You've been speaking a lot about, you know, giving back to the kids and, you know, instilling what was instilled in you, kind of passing on the mantle to the next generation. Then I'm going to go to Dave Wilson, so because he has some questions as well. How important is it for you to shine, to continue to give back? You know, or why is it that your overall message is, and I mean, and I get it, but I'm just saying for our listeners, why is the overall message for you to just simply give back and pour back into that next generation?
Because we have past talent in the past that should have been in professionals that these kids follow and see to this day in the neighborhood, but really don't know how good these guys really could be. And why should we go through another decade or a generation of kids that can live their dream and be some and become out of themselves? It's about the path you lead towards kids. And my dream is to see a kid make it. I mean, we need to change our community. We need rec centers. We need a lot of things here. And I feel like it's one kid that's going to hear my message that is going to install, that's going to have that passion to help their family and also to give back to the community like I have. I mean, I'm an adult, Dennis. I live my youth life, and I'm very successful with my adult life, and I'm very happy with it now. So I need for nothing. God gives me everything and what he's installing in me to what I'm doing now. So my passion is to really see these kids live their dream. So that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's not about the parents. The parents can't live through the kids. It's not about nothing else. It's about these kids believing in themselves and not becoming followers and becoming individual leaders to live their personal dream.
Wow. Man, that's remarkable for a brother that I know, I mean, that I physically grew up with, to for him to say these powerful things about giving back, you know, and pouring back into the community because someone poured into him. You know, even in those times when we were coaching against each other in the City League, you know, he kept calling time out and throwing up different schemes, man. So I was sitting back to myself. I said, oh, Sean know what he's talking about over there on the sideline. I mean, you know, Junior Beast Mode, I just love a competitive game, man. And you're one of those coaches. So I'm going to go to my buddy Dave Wilson. He has a few questions as well. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, Sean.
All right, go ahead.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Dave? I'm doing fine.
Hey, man, I don't know if you remember me, man, but I remember you. I remember coaching against you when you were a player, man. First of all, I want to say congratulations. It is a honor and a privilege to see a young man come up and now leading a prominent basketball program. So I wish you all the best, and you got all my support. Anything that you ever need, if I can help you with, all you got to do is give me a call, and I'll be there to help you, brother.
I greatly appreciate that, Mr. Wilson. I greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, I've had my times with you on the basketball court, so now it's time for me to give you support because you're a phenomenal basketball mind. Like Dennis said, you know your X and O's, and I give you credit on that. But my first question is, first of all, what interests you in trying to coach, one, specifically in high school basketball, and then two, specifically the Waterford Mott program?
What really did it, honestly, I've been doing AAU for 14 years. Like, so I started the high school section. What got me started is when Coach McGlowan contacted me and asked me would I assist him when he first got the job at Mott. And when him being a person that I grew up with through Pontiac and through playing through rec leagues and just knowing as a close friend, and just doing something that I love. I mean, I had downtime, and throughout the summer, besides just COVID, I'm used to traveling. It's the first time I ever been home for this long. So seeing that I was able to do basketball all year round, it really interests me because I just love coaching. I just love doing what I do. I just love seeing the outcome of kids. I just love seeing the final outcome. So when he asked me, I just took it with flying colors, and as I was there, we played at a competitive nation. I mean, one thing I learned from the difference of high school and AAU is in high school, you don't have to focus on grades. You don't have to focus on, there's no pressure. I mean, a lot of the, especially what I coach in, because it's the EYBL, is like a higher level of basketball. Tons of NBA guys come out of there. So when I got into the high school session, I had to realize that these kids really go through tough times, which is schoolwork, struggling to keep grades up, wanting to get recruited. You have kids that don't play on a major AAU circuit that's unknown but have the talent. So it just added another challenge on to me. And when Coach McGlowan decided to resign, I accomplished like a lot of big accomplishments in my life of coaching so far. I just really don't put it out as much. But when this challenge came upon, I was just really willing to go in it because I was already changing kids' lives as far as getting them into college on the AAU scene. But now this taking another role of leadership and making sure their grades is together, making sure their etiquette is together, their just making sure it's more of a attainment that I have to dealing with this high school over the AAU, a challenge that I'm willing to take on. I won 2 state championships as a player, and I won a USA Olympic championship as an AAU coach. And to be able to win a state championship is just like a goal that I really just have. Like it's just steps to life that I just want to take. And that's just another step that I'm just like itching to really just succeed at, that I feel like for me to accomplish my resume right now, where I'm at, that I need to have.
Can you tell me the moment every coach, and I think Dennis can agree with this, every coach has that one moment when they certify themselves to themselves, I guess is the basic way to say it. So what was the moment or the play or the player or the situation in which you said to yourself, I'm really a basketball coach. I can really coach this game. I know how to play it, but now I know I can coach it. What moment or situation gave you that gratification, that self-esteem to be a coach?
It was 2013 or 14. That was Sonny's fourth grade year, and that was Damari Yans and Quay's sixth grade year. So it was sixth grade nationals when I first took the Pontiac Gifts to the nationals in Virginia Beach, Division I nationals, and we were the smallest team. I had seven Pontiac kids on that team. I had Damari Yans, Bonds, I had Dequavion Washington, I had Willie Ratcliffe, I had Jamarion, Sonny Wilson, I had Ja'Cory Wallace, and I had Trael Solomon. I had those six kids, and then I had Orlando Lovejoy, which plays for Imani Bates and them. I had kids, they were from outside of our city. And we went down to Virginia Beach, and we were the smallest team in the nation. And we finished third in the country, lost by 2 points to a team from D.C., and we ended up finishing third in the nation that sixth grade year. And that was a team we came in, unknown kids, not knowing who we were, undersized. And actually, we have, like, out of the ESPN top 100 during that year, Damari Yans played against, I think, like 15 out of the 100 kids in the 2021 graduating class.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we finished it up, and so once we did that, that was like a testament of it. And then come the following year, we went to the seventh grade Division I Nationals in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we lost by 3 points in the national championship game to the Atlanta Celtics. Once we did that back-to-back years with teams that, and these were against teams that have been together for years, big-time programs, and we were a small program coming into this, jumping into a family, a team that I just put together within a small time. Once that process started, it just seemed like it just elevated from there. Everything just elevated from there, and that's around 2014.
Solidifying, bringing players together and watching them grow, that's a great feeling as a coach. Besides the state championship, what is your goal for your program at Waterford Mark? What do you want people to, like, what are you looking for to come out of your program? What is your reputation for your program to be at Waterford Mark? I know Smooth, and I'm sorry, I call him Smooth. But that's Smooth to me. I know Smooth has brought the, you know, from Jason to Smooth to now you. What do you want to continue in the program, and what do you want to put your own twist on that program so everybody knows that Sean Moore's Waterford Mark program was this? What do you want that phrase to be?
The kids going to be very respectful for one, the players and coaches we're not going to be, but one thing other coaches and other programs are going to know is they're going to have to come to play every day. We're going to play hard. We're going to give 100%. Same way I'm going to coach on the court, I'm going to coach in the classroom. I can't cut no slack towards the players because their age is not going down. Their age is only going up. So I got to have discipline because if I'm teaching young men to go to college, I got to teach them. They have to do their schoolwork. They have to have everything properly They have to come to practice ready and prepare. No cut, no slack. You just got to come in to work. This is like a job. School and basketball, there's two separate jobs. I'm raising young men, so I got to raise them to be young men. They got to take care of both sides of the playing field equally. I'm also give them love and care when they need me to be there, but we both got to fight together. I'm going to love them when it's time to be loved, but when it's time to fight, we can't cut no slack. Cut no slack. It's time to come out. It's time to produce college. It's time to produce college students. College students, not just, there's nothing wrong with JUCO or community college. I take nothing away from those. Like, there are some great JUCO and community college, but I don't want kids to just settle. We have no time for settling. It's just time to get straight to it. And you're just going to come to a program that's just going to be dogs on the court and off the court. Same way I coach in the AAU circuit is the same way I'm going to bring into the high school circuit.
That sounds great. I think Dennis has got some more questions he would like to ask. So, Dennis, why don't you jump back in here, brother?
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave. Hey, so, Sean, with you coming back, taking over the reins at Waterford My High School after a season that many people thought that Waterford My would go all the way to the Breslin Center, would you say that it's on you to get your squad to the Breslin Center?
I wouldn't necessarily. I would put it on me. I wouldn't put it on the children. The children make the plays, but the coach, I have to coach. I have to have my kids prepared. So I would never put nothing on the children. If a state title don't come, you would never see me finger point. I'm not the finger pointing person. Only time I would talk about the children, it would be an uplifting good spirit. But our goal is to win a state title. But in order to win a state title, I have to first have them mentally prepared. It starts with me. If I don't have them under control, then I will have an under control team.
No, I know that Waterford My High School was built. I wouldn't say built, but you know, you guys played with the University of Kentucky star, Mr. Isaiah Jackson, who is a Pontiac born, bred basketball player. Now, how do you, going into your first year at Waterford My, fill those shoes of that void that Mr. Isaiah Jackson brought to that ball club?
I'm honestly not the basketball player, so I don't have to fill Isaiah's shoes. I just have to really get those kids to believe in themselves. It's not really in fulfilling his shoes, because those type of players only come once in a lifetime. And again, I'm not the player, so my job is to make these kids believer in themselves. I have 4 to 5 kids that's returning from last year teams that have high confidence, that are good players and great players that are going to perform nicely. And I'm going to make sure that this upcoming season, and I'm going to make sure that they become leader and captains to lead the next young man up from the JV and the freshman that will be coming up. Hopefully, we don't know about all those players yet, but we do have a nice group that's coming back, and I'm very confident we'll be able to compete at a high level.
Now, due to the coronavirus, a lot of things have changed, and I don't know how much in-the-gym time you have had, if any. You know, have you had a chance to speak to your to your guys as of yet? So if so, what was the reception of your ball club when they found out that you were the new head coach? You know, what did you say to them in that moment? You know, what is the vibe at Waterford My right now?
Personally, so far, I've spoken with 2 players so far. But parents-wise, in emails, a lot of parents congratulated me happily with open arms. A lot of parents actually rooted for me to be the job, so I actually had a lot of backing than I actually thought that I had. But again, me and Coach McGlaughlin, we coached together, but a lot of the style, we had a mixture of style together. So a lot of my style that you guys seen us playing in the previous years was a lot of style that I created, and some of the styles that we did as well. There's some styles that he created. But a lot of the fiery defense – the fast pace, the movement. It's an up and down basketball game. If you play with a high IQ and be able to mentally, basketball is about IQ and being mentally prepared. The rest will handle itself. And that's my job to do with those kids, to have them mentally and IQ prepared.
I mean, because when you look at the makeup of the Waterford Mott basketball team, I've seen this basketball team play at least 4 or 5 times, Coach Moore. And one thing that I can say about this basketball team is that they play a very, very tough defense. If you're going to score on this ball club, you're really going to have to work for that bucket. And in the offense, they play quick. If you they get the rebound and they go, you know, I mean, they make they spread the ball around, they play wide. I mean, and they look to get right to the basket. You know, are you going to keep some of those methodologies of that hard-nosed defense, you know, that quick offense as you transition into the number one chair? Or are you going to come with a totally different style to the Waterford Mott basketball team?
There's 10 things I'm going to do. 9 of them is defense. Offense come last. Not worried about it. Defense
now,
win championships.
You have one of the guys, this is a radio station,
so I don't want to say, I'm sorry, dude, this is the radio, I don't want to say much as far as that part, but you would definitely see, and it would definitely be enjoyable, I can tell you that.
absolutely. So you have a player at Waterford Mott, his Facebook name is Dolo Zeke. I mean, and I love the way that this guy plays basketball. I mean, and he spoke to me, you know, that I host the Pontiac Jam session every year. I mean, and he talked to me about really leading his ball club this year. Well, how do you feel about the young man, Dolo Zeke, entering his senior season and him saying that he's ready to lead his ball club?
Zeke, he's so underrated. I tell him every time how much upside he has, how good he can be. Once Zeke gets a motor and just realize scoring isn't everything, Zeke is going to be first team All-State. Things Zeke can do, he's athletic. He can rebound. He can defend. He can hit the outside jumper. He just got to believe in himself. And once Zeke believes in himself, he's a Division I player, mid-major, possibly high major. The sky's the limit for Zeke. I think so high, that kid.
Now, the
and
young fellow told me that he has been working on his dunk package. Have you seen the young fella get off the floor, Coach?
Oh, man. Springs. The boy can jump off the gym.
Yes,
hey, whatever
yes,
you throw
sir.
His way, he can get it. Whatever you throw his way, he can get it. One of the
yes,
highest
sir.
Jumpers
sir.
I coach. Isaiah can jump, but Zeke can jump. You got to think about it. Isaiah 6'9", almost 6'10", but Zeke only 6'4", 6'5", and he jumping just as high.
Now, how many years have you been with the Waterford Mott program?
No, Waterford Mott, this would be my fourth year. This is my fourth year. I think that would have been day fourth year.
This is your incoming fourth season, or this is your fourth season that
this,
just finished?
This is my the season that just finished was my. Let's see. Yep, this would be my upcoming fourth season, but this would be my first season as the Waterford Mott head coach.
Okay. So my question to you is, how did the makeup of the basketball team change from the pre-Isaiah Jackson era to the season that you had with Isaiah that kind of got shut short? With everyone thought you guys were kind of primed to win it all this year, to where you are now, to where it's your program.
Repeat that first. What was the question again?
I said, how was the program before? I don't want to kind of make this question about Isaiah Jackson, but
oh no, you okay? How was the program before Isaiah arrived?
Yeah, how was the question? How was the program
first,
before Isaiah arrived? To he was there to where you.
To be honest with you, we were a successful program before Isaiah got there. But when Isaiah got there, it just took us to another level. Our first year when we got there, we had strictly all football players, and we had a real good team. We had a real good team that first year. We lost to St. Mary's by 8 points in the district championship game. And then coming into that following year, we were pretty undersized. That was Demarion's and them first year. That was a little shaky team, so we really didn't exceed expectations, but we made it to the district championship again as well. And then going into that third year with Isaiah Jackson, we were primed, again, like you said, to be a state championship team, and that would have been cut short due to the COVID-19. But after Isaiah, it really got to think about it. We didn't even think about having Isaiah that year. It was a blessing that he ended up coming. So I'm really not thinking about it too much about having him. It's all about what I have right in front of me. And I still have a big belief and confidence and these kids I have in front of me, to where the aftermath of Isaiah, it doesn't really bother me. God has his plans, and we had a great run when he was there, a great run. And I think we were destined to be state. I know we were going to win the state title. But
you have Coach Scotty Johns with you, who just recently took over the JV program, if I'm not mistaken, at White Vermont High School, who's also Pontiac bred. How important is it for you to interact with your JV coaching and the coaching staff of the JV program at White Vermont, to have that fluid transfer system, so that the guys that's in the JV program can make an easy transition from JV to varsity?
Interaction starts with me. I have to communicate with my freshman and JV coaches, because it's a program. And if the kids' goal is to go up to varsity, we're running ground. I'm going to let all our coaches run their own thing, but some of the things have to be similar. And we have a great deal of coaches that listen real, and we interact and communicate really well. Coach Scotty Johns is an extremely knowledgeable coach. He came into the game. He wants to learn an extremely lot. I actually like Scotty. He's hands-on with the kids. He reminds me of myself. He's really caring. He really cares about the game of basketball, and he really takes it serious. So Scotty is a guy that your child is in good hands if he's around, because he's going to push them to the max and cut no slacks, just like I do. And outside of him, Coach Sharp, which is the freshman coach, and Coach Van as well, that'll be there, are also great coaches that's going to lead the young man to a good place in hand, to where we're going to just run the program at a fluent level and together as one.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. We're going to go back to Mr. Wilson for his final word. Dave, do you have your final word? Anything you want to say to our sports fans? Anything you want to say to Sean?
Well, first of all, to Sean and the Water for My program, I wish you nothing but success. I will be paying attention, and, you know, I used to coach at Water for My a couple of years ago, a long time ago, and I just want you to continue the pride and the success that Water for My has encountered over the years. To the listeners, Water for My, Pontiac High, support our local youth. Make sure you know that there's people that care about them and support them and uplift them. And I just want to say, you know, Coach Moore, it is a pleasure to hear you always talk about and give God his praise. You don't hear that a lot from a lot of people, especially coaches. But keep up the good work, young man. And like I said, I'm always here if you need anything from me, just let me know.
I definitely appreciate that, Mr. Wills.
Awesome.
We appreciate
awesome. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Dave. Hey, Sean, do you want to give a shout out to anybody? You know, any coaches, any players? Let our viewers know how we can support your program. You know, via donation, any like pages, or anything we could do. Go ahead.
You talking to me, Dennis?
Yeah. You want to give a shout out to anybody? You know, any players, any coaches, how can we support your program?
I want to give pages or anything. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the family AAU program, to the Cobra program, the Pontiac Northern program, to all my 0102 Huskies, Coach Roy Webb, Coach Raj, Coach Covington. I want to give a shout out to the kids that's going on to college, Demarion Bonds, Dequavion Washington. They're going to do great things in college. I want to give a shout-out to my kids that's going to be turning back, Juan Claudio, Trey L. Solomon, Dolo Zeke. I want to give a shout-out to you, Dennis. Thank you. Appreciate you for giving me this interview. And I just wanted to say, watch out for Waterford Mount. We're going to be here for a minute. I'm planning to build something good.
Hey, how can we support your program? Do you guys have any basketball booster programs? Do you have a like page or all of that's to come?
You can go all of that to come right now. We just have the Twitter page, and that's the Waterford School District athletic page and the Waterford School District basketball page. But the rest is will be here to come.
All right, sports fans. You heard Coach Moore. Make sure you go to Twitter and support the Waterford School District athletic page for all of the upcoming updates with the Waterford Mock Corsairs basketball team. This has been your boy. I want to thank Mr. Wilson once again for always being a stand-up co-host. My boy, Mr. Sean Moore, the new head varsity basketball coach of the Waterford Mock Corsairs basketball team. This has been your boy, Sports Talk DT. Make sure you tune in to my show every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock right here on IFN Radio Nation. I want to give a shout-out to my producer, Mr. Rolo Solo Dolo, producer and owner of the R&R Show. That will air every Wednesday and Friday night right here on IFN Radio Nation. You all have a great night, sports fans, and whatever you do, be legendary. God bless you. Y'all have a great night.